Hello, everybody. This is Mark Chaffardini with Go See Talk. Thank you for coming back to the podcast. We are again continuing our short film coverage, especially in light of the upcoming Academy Awards. We are entirely thrilled and humbled to be speaking to Martin Strange Hansen and Kim Magnuson, director and producer, respectively, of a wonderful short called On My Mind. There may be a couple other shorts out there called On My Mind, but this is the one about a man singing for his wife. So let's get that point of distinction out there first. Guys, welcome to the show. How's things in your world?
Good. Great. Yeah. And I have the flu.
Yeah. Okay. Well, keep it on that side of the computer screen, please.
I will.
Well, guys, I would like to raise a toast to you with a King George and say congratulations on your Oscar nomination. That's a tremendous achievement. I would love to dive into the film itself, but before we do that, why don't you catch us up on everything from when Picture Locked and you had the film done to today? How has that journey been?
Wow. Well, yeah, we had the Picture Locked in April 1st last year, because that was a deadline for Odense Film Festival, and I believe also LA Shorts. And from then it's been, I mean, the first couple of festivals were online, virtual and all that. So in September, we had the opportunity to go and actually see it with an audience. And yeah, so it's had a good festival run already. But for me, it's always about being there with the audience, and especially the last scene, experiencing that one physically.
Excellent. I imagine it's got to be just, it's always raw when you put something out there, whether it's personal or business, but whatever it is, you've worked hard to put it out there and letting it out into the world. In this case, you threw a stone in a pond and the ripples have just infinitely exacerbated to Academy Award nominations. And Mr. Magnuson, you are no stranger to Academy Gold, Oscar Hollywood Gold. How is this par for the course for you? Everything you touch turns to little statues?
No, I can't say that this is just everything I touch, I'm turned to gold. By far, I have many short films and other features and over that hasn't made it. But yes, I have been there before. I've actually been there before with Martin. We actually won Martin's first award 18 years ago together. So that is a long relationship that flourished again with another Oscar nomination. No, but I have to say, for me, I'm super thrilled. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, and yes, I know I've been there before, but I'm eagerly excited every time it happens, because it is really, for me, it's proven that we have made a good film that our peers in the Academy likes, and that is everything for me as a filmmaker.
That's excellent. And you know, there's an expression in country music that says country songs are three chords in the truth. And in this case, it's three characters and a truthful pursuit. So now that we're going to jump into the narrative itself, it's very funny because you don't know whether this is a spiritual, sci-fi, heartfelt, you're not really sure where it's going, which I think is the charm of it. So what elements did you want to capture, and what were you happiest that manifested in this?
Yeah, well, I wanted us to be not certain about where the character was or where he was coming from, but that he had something really, really important on his mind. And because I got Rasmus in that part, I mean, he could be anything in a way. You feel that he's coming from prison. So that small secret we're giving him is something I really like throughout the film. And yes, there is a spiritual element as well. And for me, that spiritual element came out of actually my own experiences with losing and saying goodbye. That those points in life, first off, rituals become so very, very important, but also that there is that feeling of he or she is still here in some way, even though he's not. And yeah, here in our hearts, but so that's why there is this this small spiritual element in the film.
And I have to say that was very touching, because I noticed very early when Ramses held the glass after drinking it, he took a look at it and it started to echo what was happening with the window pane in the beginning. So there was something to that, which clued you in on where what was a strong element in the movie. You know, I went to dinner last night with my family, and as the owner of the restaurant walked by, he smiled at my daughter and he said, "This is your legacy. Things you teach her will live on." But that's also great that what you're saying is that, you know, whether it's memories or jokes or something, like, there's always a something that resides. And I never really thought of it like the breath of moisture on a glass. That's a fantastic concept. How did you come up with that?
Honestly, I don't know. At one point I had this script consultant. We were talking about the scene in the end, and he talked about, well, and it's like we need to feel that she's leaving in a way. And then at one point, I just thought, well, maybe it's because I have that feeling that there's something magical about Dew. I mean, it's such a it's something that's there for such a little time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in a way, that's the same thing about our lives. We are there for a little time in the great wheel of time and all that. So in that sense, we are Dew ourselves. I think that's what where it came from. And and we thought about, well, this is something that his wife has said to him several times, but he never really thought about it. He thought it was a little, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now it makes sense.
Yeah. And I thought the song choice was nice. There was some lyrics I've never really paid attention to in the song about, there are times I never held you when you were lonely. I'm sorry, Presley Estate, I'm butchering it. Or sorry, Willie Nelson's Estate, I'm butchering it. But what was the importance of bringing that track into the song or into the feature?
Oh, very, very important. I mean, this song was on very early on as the song. And I think it came from two things. One is my wife, a couple of years ago, started hearing it a lot. And when I started working on this film, it suddenly struck me how much you can transform the lyrics into lyrics about saying goodbye. And that really struck me, but like deeply. And also I wanted a song that immediately echoes or resonates with the audience. So that's why I thought this was the only choice in a way. Mm-hmm.
And you know, having the song be so important, but also the fact that the machinery, that the karaoke machinery he was singing on was not up to par. Kim, did you have any trouble finding some karaoke equipment that was post 2008, maybe?
No, I think there's actually quite a few karaoke bars around, but actually this one was not there. This is something we made up.
Okay.
I mean, I think actually there's still quite some few things out there, isn't there, Martin? I mean, I never really go out and do karaoke myself, but I actually do believe that I see them and hear about that people actually do go to karaoke bars and have fun and have a good night out.
Yeah. This one we got was actually CD based.
Okay.
So that's really old time, right? You take out your CD, put it in. Oh, it's not on that disc. So, and I think 8-bit characters on the screen, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very, very retro dated. I've been to Japan a number of times, and my favorite thing to do is actually go to Big Echo or one of the big boxes where it's like a hotel room, but besides the point, I thought that was a nice element to the story. So can you guys maybe chime in on having something so focused? Again, with the three characters, it really allowed you to pay attention to the story, not get bogged down into like the journey. It was just about the moment.
Mm. First off, because it is that moment and it's those 15 minutes where before he has to say goodbye. And that's why it has to be focused like that. Another thing, which is kind of production-wise, was that we shot this during Corona lockdown. I got the idea saying, oh, hey, All the bars are closed because of Corona, and the actors are at home. So actually, maybe this is the best, best period ever to make a film in a bar. So we did that, but kept the crew so minimal that we could do it within the restrictions. Mm-hmm. That's why we also have only three characters.
No, that's great. Art through adversity, as they say, or maybe medical induced adversity. One thing I really got to thinking of is, as you mentioned, the sort of wheel of life, you know, you imagine yourself where you are, kind of relating to every character at different points, whether at the end or earlier on, and seeing this coming. Again, I coming from a personal place always makes this more important. But how did you two maybe work together to, you know, there's sort of front of camera, back of camera, but maybe a big picture type thing. Did you guys have sort of check and balance system to like bounce all ideas off each other and improve situations?
Since, like Martin just said, the Corona thing was hitting, it was kind of, you know, because Martin and I did that, you know, we worked together. We did Martin's first short, we did his first feature together. And then we kind of kept in, you know, I had a venture at Nordisk, where I kind of parted my own company, and we have had, you know, many things together during the years. And also, especially in the short film things, Martin invented this great thing at Odense Film, to be part of Odense Film Festival, which was Pitch Me Baby is called, where the, you know, even, you know, before it was even at fault, people go and pitch their ideas. And so we've been collaborating on that through the years and all that. And then, and this happened, and we have been lately, the last couple of years, we actually had, you know, I was part of a short film that that Martin actually wrote for somebody else. And now he's, you know, he's becoming a great screenwriter for other directors as well, for himself. So we have, a few projects together. And then this one came, and just like Martin said, he said, why don't we do something during the Corona? We have these bars and all that. And then it was actually back and forth. And I read the script, of course, I liked it. And then we kind of entered in, because it's actually a co-production between our companies. But that's also the way of the financing schemes here in Denmark, because there aren't any. So we all needed to, pitch in a little of our savings. And also the crew, you know, everybody kind of just jumped on board to help Martin, do this. And so I think we did that. And then, physically on set during the production, because it was only these 4 days, I kind of kept away to give, access for another crew member instead of me because of the Corona. And then we kind of bounced back in together when we were doing editing and, music and sound and all that.
That's excellent. And so 4 days start to finish, just principal shooting. Is that right?
Principal shooting and I think pre-production will entire. I started writing the script 6 weeks before because wow. I knew we are opening the bars are opening in week 9. We have to shoot in week 8. So again, there's a lot of using the constraints to make it happen in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but 4 days shooting in the bar.
Well, with such a limited window of time, how quickly do you know whether something's working or not? And how do you build off of that? Or do you say, we need to call an audible really quickly?
Pretty quickly, I think. But it's because I always, in a way, start with the ending.
Oh, great.
I mean, I go for the ending first. Where do I want to leave my audience? And I knew what was going to happen at the end, right? And I knew that this character would have a hard time saying what was on his mind, because that would make it real. So in that sense, it was about finding out how to peel off those layers of him as a character. Mm-hmm. But funny thing is that Rasmus, who plays the protagonist, he actually first turned it down, because I cast him as a bar owner, and that's the kind of role he's been playing several times. And that got me thinking into, well, I want to have this almost like an old Western feeling to it, with this silent character And that's even better when it's someone who has this physique that Rasmus has. And yeah, I really think he did a really good job.
So he's very mysterious. As you said, you weren't sure if he came from prison or, as they say, he came from under a bus. I forget the translation, but he did really blend into the role. And I'm glad you answered that, because I was going to ask kind of where he came into the picture. But there's a small part of the story where he is saying goodbye, and the doctors are around him and his wife. I guess, how do you get an actor in character for something like that? Is it drama school? Or are they drawing from real world experiences? I guess, how do you coach somebody through that?
Well, we talked about one of the things that Rasmus did as an actor. It was like, I haven't been in this situation, but now what if this was a person that I love very, very, very much? So he kind of put a person who he holds very dear into that seat. And so in a way, I would say it was not really hard, because the emotion, the feeling, it was there already. The hard part was finding out at one point, should I see her? And I ended up saying, no, we want him to have that kind of as a secret, as a private thing, because if she gets too concrete, you don't say that, but too real, then she kind of loses some of the power as a theme or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I called my cousin, who has the most wonderful red hair, and I thought, because that's what we will know from her, and that has to shine out in some way.
Excellent. You know, there's I've noticed in the shorts that I've watched in preparation, there were shortlisted films, but also the nominated films. There seems to be a runtime of close to 20 minutes, which when some people say short film, they think 4 or 5 minutes. So having wrote this 6 weeks before you shot, I guess, what rule of thumb were you working towards? And starting with the ending, how did you land on this runtime?
Well, first, I think I was kind of aiming for 15 minutes, because I think it's a good length. It's a good length for a short that doesn't have a big, because it's so simple. It needs to be simple also in time. But then music came along, and the moment that came along with him singing, it was like, we need also those moments with him as a character. So that's why we ended for 18 minutes instead of 15. Mm-hmm. But just as a rule of thumb, it's a good idea to be below 30, below 20, because I've been sitting in film festivals selecting short films. And at one point, when you see 3,000 films, and you go, oh my God, here's one that's half an hour. I know, but I didn't want the people selecting to feel that when they just saw the length. Mm-hmm. So that's again was my own experience going, yeah, it has to have that sharp pointed length to it.
That's great. You know, and even at 18 minutes, this really went in sort of a blink of an eye. You know, it was easy to understand and relate to Magnus's character and his situation. But then at the end of it, there's a score that kind of swells, and there's some great choral work. Can you talk about working with your composer to sort of add a little life at the end, and like maybe what some of the meaning was behind that?
Yeah. We were talking about early on that we needed some kind of ethereal feeling in the music, but also as a dark matter in the below in the bass line, which was kind of what was tying her to the ground. It was made out of the life support in a way. It has to reflect that. But then we had this thing that we found out during the film that there's a love story. And every time the love story and what something that connects with his love and their story together, then we're not in ethereal, then we're not in that broad mood, but we have this small piece of what's called a guitar, yeah, which is reflecting that. And then in the end, what we wanted was, well, now everything can be connected.
Mm-hmm.
We both the darkness is kind of gone now, but we can have the guitar playing the theme and incoming that, yeah, almost spiritual, almost her voice, right, coming in, saying goodbye in a way. So it was something that we talked a lot about, and then he said, well, let me try that with that voice. And I was like, you just made me cry again.
I love the last image of the film. There's a stillness to that window pane, and it really cements everything. Now, contrary to that, you take a deep breath, you step back from it, you have your emotional response. How did you guys celebrate after you were done? Did you run out to the bars in week 9? Did you play that turntable behind you, Martin, and just dance all night? What was your victory dance?
Oh yeah, but this again was a funny thing because of Corona. We had done the shooting, and then but we need to leave this place where we're shooting the hospital. So goodbye. And then when we finally got to celebrate was Tuesday, last Tuesday, because that was the first time that I was able to actually invite the entire team to see the film. So they had just seen the film and were deeply affected by it when we then saw the Oscar nomination. So that was, then we went to the bar and then we had a couple of beers and we were in a very light mood.
Excellent. Well, here is Four Kings to you, gentlemen. I appreciate the time being with you. If you could just tell us quickly what's next on either or both of your plates, and how would you celebrate 20 years working together? What do you have a dream project?
Maybe we should try to have a feature in our 20th years of working together. I mean, that is 20 years already soon, but we actually do have a feature, which is kind of from another producer, but that I'm going to be produced with another company that Martin has written. So in that way, we are very looking forward to hopefully see that come true. That's my personal, I mean, it's a really great story that Martin has written based on a real life thing in Denmark, but it's really great. So that is actually probably one of the next projects that we are aiming to do.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. What's the what's the timeline on that? We're going to see that 2024.
All depends. In Denmark, all financing is public money, so you have to kind of get it in there, and you have to have a consulting editor, in a studio system, a governmental executive who needs to say yes to it and give it money, because otherwise you are kind of doomed. You don't really have other places to go if you don't get the initial support from them. So if it's fast tracking, it would be a 24 thing, maybe we'll release in 25, just because there's a big lockdown. I mean, not lockdown, but all the releases that hasn't come out yet is pushing the release pattern a little. So in that way, 24, let's just say that.
Great. I might have $20 sitting around here somewhere. Maybe I could help fund you guys. But we look forward to your success on the night of the Oscar, the Academy Awards. But thank you immensely both for your time and your film. Have a great night.
Thank you.